Everybody is here now, and so in the room, for those that are on the phone, we have Mayor Dolan, Councilman Jensen, Commissioner Gibson, Commissioner Milburn, Commissioner Milne, and from the staff, this is Andrew and Wayne and Lovett, our CFO, and Andrea. And on the phone, we have Councilman Pratt and Mayor Cronin. The only person that we...
Barber?
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Councilman Barber. I'm very sorry, Councilman Barber. Councilman Barber on the phone. We do not have Mayor Caldwell, because Mayor Caldwell is doing a volunteer mission in India for 2 weeks.
What kind of mission?
I don't know.
It's volunteer based.
Yeah. It's through his
on
wife.
Bike?
No.
No doubt.
He's volunteered to ride through. I don't know. His wife Katrina. It's through her work, and so they went for that, and then he's actually just gonna stay for another week. So.
You fly that far, you might as well stay longer.
So, Mr. Budget Committee Chair, thanks so much for calling this illustrious group together.
I did.
You did. You did indeed.
Okay.
Just to start, Andrea, have you already started the recording?
Yes, I have.
Okay, very good. Mr. Mayor, we've got the agenda in front of you. However you'd like to do this, if you want to walk us through and or turn to us, however you'd like to manage this.
So we need an action on the minutes of the October 13th meeting.
Move we approve.
Got a
second.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Who was the motion? I'm sorry. Thanks.
Public comment? Looking for somebody.
Seeing
them, we'll close up a public comment.
Is that where we talked about moving the Wasatch Front Regional Council to Ogden?
It could be.
Yeah, you could do that. Go ahead.
No.
See if you can sell
I'll wait till next public comment.
Okay, budget action. The
center of the universe is in place.
I always thought it was Sandy. But
technically speaking, the center of Utah is closer to Sandy. I'm just going to say.
It's Levand.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's Naval.
It's Levand. That's Naval.
Okay,
Oh, okay. You don't know that.
But what we need to know is where the really center of the Wasatch Front is, and that's probably Naval. Right there in Commissioner Milburn's neighborhood.
That's what I'm telling you.
The opposite of them.
Really?
I like it.
Right, the center between Ogden and Provo is Sandy. What can I say? I'm trying to sell that to people. Anyway, let's. It's a public hearing.
Action no.
On, okay, this is for the next time. Okay. All right, Andrew, tell me what I'm doing.
Okay. So there are three items that we have for your consideration today as the Budget Committee. As you see on your agenda there, amending the FY17 budget, our current budget, reviewing the draft FY18 budget and work program, and then a draft amendment to our accounting and administrative policy. And we can go through each of those items in turn. I will tell you that while we have a few items to discuss, I don't think any of these items are particularly there's nothing earth-shattering here, no fundamental shifts in direction for the organization, but there definitely are some items that warrant some discussion. So if we can just take them each in turn. On the FY17 budget, you have in front of you memo on the FY17 budget, and there's two proposed modifications. Now, those of you that have been doing this with us for a while know that it is not uncommon that we periodically amend our budgets, to reflect additional revenues coming in. And so, at the March meeting, this is not unusual to do an amendment. We're on the fiscal year, so our budget will be up at the end of June. And we're starting our budget process looking ahead to 18. But for 17, there's two proposed modifications. One relates to the Point of the Mountain work, and then the other relates to our building move. Excuse me. On the Point of the Mountain for FY17, you know that the Point of the Mountain Commission has been established and is moving ahead with its work. Mayor Dolan is a member of that commission. And as part of the work that that commission is doing, the commission is specifically charged, legislatively charged, with coordinating with the transportation agencies, WFRC, MAG, UDOT, and UTA. The four agencies got together and said, well, we do a lot of work and would be coordinating with that commission anyway, but we wanted to pool some resources to supplement our efforts and make sure that there is a streamlined and coordinated effort between the commission and its consultants and the transportation agencies. So we collectively have pooled $200,000. There is $80,000 of that that comes from WFRC, $40,000 from each of the other agencies, UDOT, UTA, and MAG. That $80,000 is already included in the WFRC budget because it is part of our existing Transportation and Land Use Connection, or TLC, program. That went through a competitive process. Actually, it was Sandy City that submitted the grant application on behalf of the cities in that area. So we've already allotted in our budget $80,000 for that. The other agencies, the other three, they put in their budgets $40,000 each, and they have all, through our joint projects collaborative approach, they have, which is an approach that we use to work together among all the agencies, all of them have asked WFRC to be the project manager for that $200,000 effort. So they want to give us their resources. We have an RFQ that's out, and we've solicited proposals from firms that we can hire with those resources to do this supplemental work to what the Point of the Mountain Commission is doing. So it's a budget item, because each of those three agencies is going to give us that money. So we have to show that as a revenue coming into us as we take that in, and then we expend those resources. Okay? Any questions or comments about that? And the memo describes this, and it's also reflected in the budget pages for 2017 as a revenue and as an expense. Okay?
As I understand this $200,000 is for us, Wasatch Front and the other entities. This is not money going into the Point of the Mountain Commission.
Correct.
This is money that we need for our own integration into this process.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Mayor. And I should note, just while we're on this topic, I've had outreach to and from the co-chairs of the Point of the Mountain Commission. That's Representative, State Representative Larry Snow and Chris Conaby. And they are, excited that all the transportation agencies have identified these resources and are coordinating with them. And B, they want to make sure, and we have assured them, that we are not going to be duplicating work or double paying for work with the consultants that the commission has hired. And the way that I've described this to them is that it's going to be seamless, like puzzle pieces fitting together, closely coordinated, but not duplicative. So, okay, so that's that. The other item for FY17, which again is described in the memo, relates to the WFRC moving our offices. You'll remember that this is an issue we've been talking about for some time.
This is where we talk about.
Right.
This would be the place, yes.
And we've been talking about this for some time. The council, when adopting goals for our organization for this year, one of the goals was, or is, move the WFRC offices to a more central location that is accessible by multiple modes of transportation. You will see, maybe you noticed, a sign in front of our building, which is to sell the building. So our building is officially on the market.
I guess I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, didn't see that sign. So our building is
official. I don't see a lot of signs.
In various areas.
That sounds very heavy.
Yeah. So the building is officially on the market, and at the same, you know, we own this building, so we have to sell it. At the same time, we're looking for a place to move to.
Well, you almost own the building.
Right, and so we were going to talk about that. Thank you.
Looking downtown still?
Yeah, yes, the basic...
Davis County.
Ogden, Davis County.
Sandy.
This might turn into...
Grantsville, I don't know.
The greatest political dance ever.
Well, our intended approach is to locate in downtown Salt Lake, close to our ideal, and we're just getting started on this, our ideal is to locate close to one of the front runner stations, either at North Temple or at the intermodal hub, so that there's access all across the region from folks who can drive in easily, or if you want to take front runner from Ogden, you'd be able to do that, or from Davis County.
Look at him, just giving you
that's true.
All these buy-ins.
Making me think I'm actually winning.
Anyway.
It's a win-win.
So I don't know where this is going to turn out. We've got, you know, our brokers helping us look at options. We've got some folks that are courting us. Dan Lofgren of Cowboy Partners is the lead developer on the site between the intermodal hub and the Rio Grande station, and he really, really wants us in there, and the Salt Lake RDA really wants us in there. So we're entertaining ideas, but
95% tax increment for 15 years.
There you go. There you go. The reason that we're talking about it as part of the FY17 budget amendment is that we own this building that we're in right now, and as Commissioner Milburn was just alluding to, actually, we're sort of the owners. It's the Davis County Building Authority that actually owns it with bonds that they issued on our behalf to buy this building years ago. And so, Lovett, will you explain why we're actually talking about this as part of the budget amendment?
Yes, as we've been going through this process, we've been talking with Davis County, thanks Commissioner Milburn for all your help, about how do we affect this sale. The way our lease is set up, as soon as we make the final payment on the bond, Wasatch Front receives a clear deed to the property. The municipal authority suggested it might be simplified if we could retire the remaining balance on the bonds. I can tell you 20 some years or whenever it was, 19 years ago that we did this. Not 19, anyway, 2001 we did this. That million, almost 1,000,003 that we borrowed looked like a lot of money. Well, we're down to about 300,000 left. And so staff was trying to figure out how we could retire those bonds without sacrificing any of our ongoing programs. And we identified three sources of funding. The first piece is actually some money that's set aside at Zions Bank in connection with the bonds. It's restricted for debt retirement, or in the case of default, it allowed them time to deal with it. We have not defaulted, so those funds will be available. That's about $95,000. We also have a set of funds called assigned funds for unemployment, future unemployment claims. These were set aside many, many, many years ago, anticipating that we might have to pay unemployment claims at some point in the future. Our experience has shown that we don't typically use those funds. By unassigning those, then they become available that could be used for debt service. And the third piece comes from some funds that are budgeted already in FY17, but we know we're not going to need them for rent, and we are proposing that we use those funds instead to pay off our bonds. So with those three pieces, without sacrificing any of our ongoing programs, we feel like this would be the way to go. It doesn't increase expenditures over the life of the bonds. It's merely a prepayment on a debt is how that works. So,
just on the money that we already had budgeted, as Lovett said, for rent, we had intended to move sooner. We, you know, we had hoped to move this year, but these things take time, and so therefore we didn't need to use all of those, haven't needed to use those resources, so they're, that we had budgeted, so the, some of them, as she's saying, are available then for this purpose. So if we buy, if we can pay off the bonds, $300,000, and there's no prepayment penalty, then we own the building free and clear, which will greatly simplify the mechanics of the sale when we get to that point. Do you want to add anything on this?
Yeah, and isn't there something to do with the bonding mechanism at the moment anyway, that there's, it's an opportune time because there needs to be some adjustment or change, or I can't remember what the clerk auditor was saying, but...
That has to do with the interest rate we pay on the bond. In the document, it specifies that they will use a rate published by a bank that no longer exists. And so they said, well, we're going to go out and find something that approximates that same calculation for interest rate, and as long as everybody's agreeable, we will use that instead. That was the only change. It doesn't affect the payoff. It actually lowered our interest just a little bit, he said. So.
Okay. I think all in all, this simplifies things, and as you make a transaction going forward, it cleans it up and puts it in, puts the title in WFRC's
right
name and whatever.
So, Lovett, I'm assuming you looked at the call dates and all of those that were going to be good with how the bond was structured, when we can make the call on them?
Yes. We're required to give the bondholders a 30-day notice,
okay,
and we are required to give Zions Bank a little bit of time to generate that notice. So, been talking with our administrator over at the bank. He says if we can get this done and give them a written notice on the 23rd of March, then the bonds are available to be paid off on April 28th, which is a Friday. So it's, that's, you know, that would satisfy all of the notice requirements to get us there.
And then they're good with using the capitalized interest in that restricted fund, since it's basically be rebated anyway at the end of the term?
Actually, it would never have been rebated. It was always intended for the final year's payment.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So, yes, that would be netted against whatever is out there, and then we would write them a check for the difference, which I believe is, what, $205,600, or, yeah, $205,607, I think it was.
Okay. So based on what, how you've described it, really the only change for us is going to wind up being the unused money this year.
That unemployment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So on that unemployment fund that sits out there, how long has that sat there? Has it ever been tapped into, or...
Is it
wise to keep something there? Do we pay, or are we going to put some back into that?
Here's the thing: we have been self-funded on unemployment from the beginning of our inception as an organization. Those funds were put aside, starting 40 years ago, I think. We have used some of them to a small degree, and all in the last year. Typically, we don't have a lot of turnover, but besides that, it's my intention to go out there and see if we can't buy an unemployment insurance policy. But, what happens to it is if we have a claim for unemployment, it becomes a current expense. We can pay it out of current funds. Okay? These funds were, in the beginning, they were a percentage that was assigned to all payroll and thrown into a bank, as if we were making payments on the state unemployment fund, which we didn't.
Okay.
Now, going forward, that's an option for us to go into the out of the self-funded and into the insurance program for unemployment. So, your call. We haven't used much of it in the last 23 years.
Yeah, I think just to echo what Lovett said, it's a great question. Our assumption is, based on experience, that if we do need some resources to pay these, that it would be a modest amount, and B, it could be covered out of existing budget for the salaries and benefits line item.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be.
How much do we have in there? Are we going to take it all?
We have $124,914.
So we're taking it all.
Yeah.
I know these things.
Can I just come back to, Councilman, to echo your questions about the payoff on the bonds? We have talked with, Lovett has talked with our auditor just to check on this, make sure it's all good, has talked with the Zions Bank on this. We've talked with Davis County's attorney, and then also their outside bond counsel. So we've touched all the bases to make sure. I mean, it's a relatively simple transaction, but it makes sense to touch all the bases, which we have done.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm good.
So that's the budget action then. So then for you, as a budget committee, our recommendation
to move it forward to the council.
Is to move forward to the council. The amendment, you know, related to the point of the mountain, and as you see here in the memo, it has this recommendation for motion language, which gets at increasing revenue and expenditures by $120,000 for point of the mountain, unassigning the funds for future unemployment claims, transferring $205,607 from the special projects fund to the general fund, which is reflective of the rent budgeted funds budgeted for rent,
yep.
and the unemployment fund to transfer from the special projects fund to the general fund, and then authorize the additional expenditure of the $300,000 from the general fund for the debt service.
And I'll make that motion.
Okay.
Motion and second. Any more discussion? Any more discussion on the phone? All in favor?
No.
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, sorry.
Aye.
Okay. Now I have some questions. Have we had an appraisal for the building? This building yet?
Yes. Well, we've worked with our broker, and then they with the appraisal and with the market comps, they recommended a sale price of Lovett. Do you have that handy? 1.4 something.
I believe it is $1.5 million is what they're asking.
Okay.
And what did we pay for the building?
We paid about $1.2 million for the building. It was $1.288 million, I think, was the number.
It's not much appreciation, but this building is an unusual building. Finding a buyer for it is, somebody's willing to gut it is. And the location you have to have somebody wants to be on
right.
The airport. The other is, when we move, are we going to lease or own?
Mm-hmm. Undecided at this point, and we're evaluating both options in terms of availability and also in terms of what makes sense for our budget. And I'm glad you brought this up because when we sell this building, you know, we'll have proceeds from the sale after we pay off the we'll pay the bonds, and then we'll have proceeds from the sale, and we'll have to evaluate whether it makes sense to roll that into the purchase of another building, or if we're going to rent to put that aside in some sort of holding account then that we can utilize for rent payments over time. So the answer is we don't know yet.
Is you're working with Dan Lofgren, is there a possibility that he's condominiumizing whatever he's building? So we can buy the condo unit or whatever the office space.
Yeah, and we're working with Tim Anker from Cushman Wakefield as our principal broker. The conversations that we're having with Dan Lofgren are sort of on the side. He's the master developer for phase one in that property that I described. And what he wants to do is build a building that we would be the owner of a portion of. And then it would also have, I think it was 20 residential units. So that's his idea, and he's drawing up some plans for us. I don't want to put too much stock in that. I appreciate Dan courting us.
The building's not built yet.
The building is not built. At the earliest, from now until when we could occupy, at the earliest, it would be 30 months or so. And there's a lot of a lot of interest on our staff, excitement on our staff to move away from this location to be somewhere more centrally located. And I'll tell you that if I think if we told the staff, hey, we're moving in 3 years, I'd have a revolt on my hands. but having said that, other concerns, you know, of that, of potentially going to that location, you know, we'd be the phase one of phase one in an area that is still challenging, you know, given the homeless situation. So, you know, Dan, part of the reason that he's interested in us locating there is that he sees it as a positive sign for the future of that development. I mean, to have our organization and all of you, you know, stand there and say, we're making a bet on this area. But it's something that we really have to think seriously about. We are not waiting for that possibility. We're
kind of making us a homeless shelter.
Out here,
yeah.
You know what?
Can I ask
as much
a question
as we're going to spend on the others? That's actually not what I did. Right next to the FBI.
Procedural clarification.
Yeah.
Am I a voting member today?
Yes.
I don't know how that works.
Yes.
I know that I've.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yes, you are.
Me too?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no.
So I'm noting that previous vote then, and here's why. I really don't like the idea of taking away all of our unemployment insurance. I just feel uneasy about that. But I also respect that I'm so new here that I'm asking whether or not I'm voting, but I don't know the whole situation. I appreciated what Levitt said about it.
Okay.
We've
used it once in the last 22 years.
I understand. It's,
yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's just one of those things. I like having reserves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one of those taxpayers that thinks that government ought to be on a shoestring budget and not have enough for a rainy day. Maybe it's because of my recent past into what accounting.
Uh-huh.
But that being said, I really want to focus on that. I'm not too keen on paying rent for up to 3 years. Or are you guys thinking you'd sell it that far in advance
and
still occupy and rent it back? Or
can I just come back to your point about the unemployment? Just
yeah.
Respond to that. Just the way that we, recognizing that you're not as familiar with our budgeting process, as you noted, the way that we do our budget, we have a line item in our expenditure for salaries and employee benefits. Okay. Typically, what the budget committee and the council does is they budget, and this is sort of getting into what we're going to propose for 18, budget a 5% increase on that line item, and out of that, we are charged with managing any salary adjustments, COLA or merit, health insurance increases, or you know, anything else related to benefits, and then also with that degree of flexibility that exists within that 5%, we anticipate that if we had any issues related to unemployment claims, that they would be modest enough that we could manage that out of that line item. So what I'm saying here is our approach is not to say, let's get rid of our reserve and hope we don't need any money. It's, we have not needed that reserve. We have a need for it now. And we think that the way that the council has budgeted for us to manage that line item in our budget, that should we need some resources, we would be able to accommodate that out of what's budgeted in that line item. So your point is a great one, and I'm with you.
I feel comfortable. Maybe it's just the round number of it, the 100 out of 120. Some odd, but I don't know. It's unnerving to me. And that's okay. It's the majority of people. I'm good with
it. We will look at buying unemployment insurance. I mean, so that we have an option to.
Right. Can I ask you, so reading the budget, it looks like there's roughly $334,000 between rent in the approved 2016 budget and O&M. That add up correctly?
Yeah, the repairs and building operating expense.
I'm looking on what would
yeah.
be the equivalent of page 4, expenditure by function, draft amended. You've got rent of $250,000 and building operation, $84,000.
Mm-hmm. So in the FY17 budget as approved, $250,000 for rent and $84,000 for building operation and R&M. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking at next year's budget.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
I didn't hear the question.
I was just looking to confirm. That's all. I wanted to, because I am so new, I'm just looking to make sure I'm on the same page.
Okay. Yeah, last year when they approved this budget, we...
Go ahead.
I said last year when they approved this budget, we thought that we might possibly move, so we wanted to have funds in there to use in case we did. And the operation and maintenance number included a little bit of money so that if we did move, we'd have some funds to pay the movers to, you know, put the cabling for the computers in the building, those kinds of startup costs that are associated with the building. We ended up not needing them.
Normally it's 110, and that's been pretty comfortable on the budget.
Right, and we're budgeting then our proposal for 18, when we get to that, is to have the same budget for 18 for rent that we did for 17, again on the presumption that we are going to move during our fiscal 18 year. Okay, and then going back to the other issue, we don't know yet, and to Mayor Dolan's question, we don't know yet whether we're going to buy, borrowing we'd have to do, whether we're going to rent. The budget that we have proposed for FY18 does not predict anything other than paying a rent cost. We anticipate that it is likely that before we execute any transaction on the sale of this building and the purchase of another building or renting or leasing of another space, we are going to have to come back, because that's going to have a budget impact. Okay, so what we're asking you to look at today is not approval for any sort of any particular transaction. We're going to assess this and then have dialogue with you about that, both in terms of the space we're going into and in terms of the budget implications and approach.
Well, I guess that's holding things up because I'm the only one asking questions, and I feel a little uncomfortable about that. So since I'm new, I just wanted to get some background and things like that. I am a little uncomfortable with not knowing philosophically from the board the direction on rent or ownership.
Here's one of the unique things that we deal with the type of funding we have. We don't have tax revenues like a city or a county would. We operate on grants, and they're a finite amount. So at the beginning of the year, we have to look at all of the grants we anticipate getting and make sure that we set aside enough money to deal with anything that may come up in the future. And so, you know, sometimes it's a really conservative approach, and we might say, you know, we may need this. We're going to set it aside. And if we don't spend it, then it just gets rebudgeted the next year. But we can't, like, we can't go in and tell our grantors, hey, we need more money because we're moving, because that's not the way it works. They give us a contract, we have to live within that contract. So we're a little bit different in the way that which is why we budget on this basis, because this represents the contracts we have to do the work we do.
I actually feel like my concerns bolstered by that statement, but that's okay.
I tend to be somebody who believes we should own our own buildings,
yeah,
not lease them as government entities. So I would prefer to own, but I get that we're not going to know, dealing with whoever purchases this, if we're going to be able to do a rent back or not. Mm-hmm. If we're not into a place, if it's an existing building, we could go in when we sell. It's something that they're going to buy and maybe do the condo concept where we buy a portion of it, then that might be 30 months out. Have to look at the details of, you know, how we structure that kind of a lease. We get credit for anything anywhere. I get your concerns. I'm not as hung up on the unemployment insurance. We tend to have a little bit of underexpend, as you would probably know, with your budget and your personnel items, you're always going to have some underexpend. So I think we could handle, in the time I've been here, it is very rare, and I've been here not as long as you, but I've been here since 2001. So in the 16 years I've been here, our turnover is minimal, absolutely minimal. So I don't see it, based on my experience, as a huge risk to take our unemployment insurance, because typically we're not letting people go. They retire or they move on to something else, so they're not going to be in the need of unemployment. compensation. Again, just the history that I've had over the 16 years. That's why I'm comfortable with doing this. Now, I'm not opposed to looking at a number when we sell the building of returning it to that restrictive account. Some amount that we feel comfortable. I'll be honest, I do think the 129 is probably a high number for unemployment based on our history.
I would agree.
Having some in there, though, I'm like you. I'm not opposed to having that restricted account if we're self-funded. If Lovett can get us a good deal on insurance, then I would be comfortable doing away with that restricted account. But I think that those are things that we can get to that I think we as a budget committee need to still keep on our agenda as something we need to look at going forward. But I'm personally comfortable for those reasons.
Appreciate that. Thank you for the extra context.
What if I would suggest that, you know, every time I have a CPA in my council, you sit down with Lovett and go through how this is funded, how we operate, because like you could bring some good thoughts to us.
We would welcome that, Commissioner.
I understand. I think you're being too sensitive about
it.
I'm in a losing position.
No, I we the staff, value input from this committee and any member thereof. And several of you have said that you like the idea of what Lovett suggested of looking at unemployment insurance. Okay? So rather than having us sit on a pool of money that is probably more than we're going to need, what we can do is, if you guys want, you can say, well, you're going to approve this budget amendment and you're going to give us direction to investigate an unemployment insurance policy, which I could suggest would be something that you would want information on before we approve the final FY18 budget. Because what's going to happen here is we're proposing an amendment to the 17 budget that takes that reserve away. We're also talking about the draft 18 budget. So the process here is the budget committee looks at the draft 18 budget, takes it to the council at the end, later in this month in March. The council then votes not for final approval of the budget, but to put it out for comment. And then we come back in May. So that would give Lovett time to do the analysis on an unemployment insurance policy. And if we find something that makes sense, we could build that into our budget plan for FY18. And then you would have given that direction. So you're saying okay to getting rid of the reserve, but you're also giving direction to look into purchasing a policy, which we would have time to research and then incorporate into our budget plans for 18.
If such were to be a alternate motion or a substitute to, I would support that.
Okay.
I'm in agreement with that too, and with the one minor word change, rather than look into it, that there is some mechanism that is put into place, not just looking into it, but that there is a proposed mechanism to put into place to cover that unemployment.
Okay.
Because I respect what Councilman Jensen has stated, and I think it's great that so far the history of FRC has been such that staff has felt great, but you never know what the future holds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it could be that just one executive director away or some middle manager that just doesn't rub right, and you end up, you know, chasing a few folks off, or, you know, one nasty kind of HR related
mm-hmm.
harassment claim, and then you're in that
yeah.
position. And I would hate for us to have a steep increase among our members the following year to make up for that kind
yeah.
of thing. That's where my hesitancy in treating it as an insurance policy comes into play. But if with Mayor Cronin's recommendation we have that, you know, direction clearly for Lovett to go after, and I'd feel good about that.
Sure.
Okay,
having been on the prevailing side, if we're gonna,
I actually have the paperwork on my desk to do that.
I'll
sitting right here.
Make a motion that we relook at this, but it will be the new motion will be stated with those specifics that you and the mayor have indicated. Did you get all that, Lovett, of what they like in?
Wait, who's speaking? I can't tell.
It's me, Michael.
Oh, sorry.
Did you get all of the amendments or directions that the commissioner and the mayor asked for?
As I understand it, that the motion would be to go forward with this, with the caveat that we go out and we get some sort of unemployment insurance policy to cover any future unemployment claims. Yes.
In lieu of, or for the purposes of, you know, using down all of this, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, or alternatively, we could use the unused rent to make up the difference. I mean, the mix that we've shown you in this material here was to you know, use up the assigned unemployment claims, but it doesn't have to be that way. We could actually use more of the unspent rent. I mean, we could change that mix around if you guys would feel more comfortable.
This is Mayor Cronin. I'm going to leave it to you to decide what is the most cost-effective way to do it. My concern is just that there is something out there to take care of future claims if needed.
Okay.
How about if we were to phrase the motion that we're going to direct you, Lovett, to come back with a plan that deals with concerns around the unemployment fund and how we're going to fund any potential unemployment claims. So if we're going to use that fund, come back with insurance. If we're going to not use all of it, come back with how we're going to still pay off the building out of what existing funds or available budget you have. You good with that,
okay,
Commissioner?
Yeah.
Mayor, are you good with that?
Yes, thank you.
All right, then that would be the motion upon reconsideration.
Do we have a motion? Do we have a second?
Second.
Do we have a second?
I just a question on the motion for clarification. I just want to make sure that we as staff are in fact under that motion able to utilize the full amount of these funds to pay off the bonds, which is something we're intending to do soon.
That's what I'm hoping.
And
then you repay into that pot
if needed, and we have direction to move forward on the plan for addressing unemployment claims, which is likely to include purchasing a policy.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I guess my intent would be, you're going to do those. If you're not going to use all of the fund and get insurance, then you need to come back and tell us, hey, we're going to leave $35,000 in there, but we're going to take $35,000 from somewhere else in the budget that we're going to identify.
Okay.
I still want you to go move forward.
Yeah, okay.
But come back and tell us if you're going to make those changes.
Got it.
And where those changes would be.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. I have one question of Lovett. Are we collecting any interest on this $125,000?
Yes, we are.
Probably 1%?
If you're
lucky. It varies. It's based on whatever. They're over in the Public Treasurer's Investment Fund with the state.
0.75%.
I was going to say at some point it was 0.25%.
Yeah, so it's just sitting there.
Yeah, it's doing a little better now.
Inflation's eating it away.
Mm-hmm. Our interest income this year is on target to be about $10,000. That's not all from this. It's for other things as well, but that's pretty healthy compared to previous years.
Okay. That's all we have for item A.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Move to item 3B.
Okay, thank you. So this item, again, is the draft budget and work program for FY18, our fiscal year that starts on July 1. Again, our process is the budget committee looks at this first. We take it to the council in March. They discuss it, and then their vote is to release it, the work program and draft budget, for review and comment. We send it directly send it to all the COGs in the region, and we also have an official 10-day public comment period. And then with any comments that we receive, any adjustments that are necessary, we bring those back in May to a budget committee, again, as needed, prior to the May council meeting, and then final action on the budget at the May council meeting. That's the process. So what we have for you here in your packets is the materials, the memo explaining the budget pages, and then also the draft summary of the Unified Planning Work Program. which is basically a description of what are we intending to do next year. We do that, we're actually required to do that by for our grantors from the federal government, and we work that through with UDOT and UTA's input as well. Before we go on to the budget, Wayne, is there something, anything you wanted to say about the Unified Planning Work Program?
Just a few highlights. Primary items are development of the preferred scenario for the regional transportation plan, updating the transportation improvement program, several studies that are outlined here, continuing with the economic development district and the transportation and land use connection program. Those are probably
essentially, in some ways, you could say that the Unified Planning Work Program, it's a statement of our intention of what we're going to do. It's also, to some extent, a hunting license for us to do these things. There are some studies listed in there. It is not a commitment that we will finish all of those studies in this year, but it is an expression of the scope of the work that we're going to be focusing on.
Correct.
Okay. On the budget, I think probably the best, there's a memo describes this, probably the best thing for us to look at is the page that's called Expenditure by Function. So it says, for Budget Committee Review Draft, Wasatch Front Regional Council, FY 2018 Budget, Expenditure by Function. There's a few items that we would like to hit on here to talk about with you, but are happy to answer any questions about anything in here. First, overall, you look, our total budget is actually a decrease of about $1.4 million from FY17 to FY18. That is principally tied, when actually you see an increase from 16 actual to 17 estimated, and then a decrease from 17 estimated to 18 budget. You can see most of the action there is in the contractual line item in the budget. Okay? Anybody remember why? Why did our contractual line item go up so much and then go down?
Was
anybody?
The million we did to a Mountain Accord?
Correct. So.
What is it called?
Yeah. If we pass that Tuesday.
Right. Yeah, welcome. Congratulations.
It was one reason, you.
So we received funding from the state of Utah to do contractual work related to the Mountain Accord effort. We were asked to manage some work for program management and also transportation analysis. We anticipate that work will conclude in this fiscal year, and that we, WFRC, are not going to have any additional resources in our FY18 budget. So that's why you see that contractual line item and then really the overall budget coming down significantly. The other notable item that's operating in that contractual line item that you see goes from $3,062,000 to $1,784,000. There's an increase also built in there related to our transportation and land use connection program. This is the program where we make a grant of technical assistance and staff support to communities around the region as they, you, are dealing with challenging growth and land use and transportation issues. It's actually been a very successful program. It has been successful enough that this year, for the first time, UDOT and UTA are now coming to the table and are contributing resources to that program. So it's a joint program. UTA is going to be putting in and has budgeted to and is going to be putting in $100,000 per year into that program, and UDOT is going to be putting in $300,000 a year into that program. So I'll tell you, we are really excited about this, about what we're able to do. We think that that's relatively low dollar spending that is high value, and truthfully helps our communities plan for and be better prepared to compete for and utilize larger capital dollars going forward for infrastructure investments. So a portion of that increase of that $400,000 from UDOT and UTA is reflected in that contractual line item. Out of that $400,000, we're going to use the majority of it. Our plan is to, and our budget would utilize the majority of that for consulting, for contractual. We also plan to utilize a portion of that for a new staff person that will be dedicated to the TLC program. So it's a funded position coming from the new resources coming in from TLC, from UDOT and UTA. Out of that 400, we'd use a portion for a new staff person and then the balance of it for additional contracting. And that new staff person is reflected in the salaries and employee benefits line item. Okay?
Is this an ongoing annual commitment by those two parties?
It is. It is.
And is the staffer being hired with the understanding that if those grant monies go away, they're... We do that at our county, and I don't know if that's similar other places, but when we have a lot of health department grant-related work,
mm-hmm.
and we have those workers so that they understand that if those grants go away, that their position...
We do the same thing.
All right. I just don't want us to be hooked with a long-term obligation if we've got a short-term revenue spread.
Go away. You don't go anywhere.
That's what I talk. Well, so the answer to your question is basically yes, in that the arrangement that we're working out, and so we are working through the actual agreements right now with UDOT and UTA, and also Salt Lake County contributes $200,000 annually for this program as well. They have since the inception. Thank you. We are working through the agreements on this that will all establish that these funds will be paid and can be utilized for our FY18 budget, starting for FY18. So it is our absolute intent to get all of those agreements signed and in place prior to the final adoption of this budget in May, and certainly prior to the start of the fiscal year when we actually start utilizing those resources. Okay, one. Two, on the position, yes, the expectation is that these resources will be utilized for that position. We're not contractually going to, our intention is not to contractually state to this new position, you're only here as long as these funds are here, and if these funds disappear, then you're gone. And I say that it's not our intention to establish that contractually. We don't do that with any of our employees. But all of our employees are, you know, at will, in that as long as we follow our policies, if we don't have the resources available to fund those programs for what they're working on, then they, you know, that's a valid reason for terminating them. I should say there's an understanding. We right now have two dedicated positions, headcount for this program, and that's the understanding that those folks are working under now as we speak. So it's a great point, but I just wanted to be technically clear about, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so that, and then the other element that I want to note is something I already mentioned on the salary employee benefits line item. It factors in an overall 5% increase, which again, as I already described, provides the ability for us to make adjustments for COLA or merit. And address benefit cost increases, particularly for healthcare. For healthcare, Lovett budgets for a 10% increase, which would occur midway through the year. Now, hopefully it doesn't come in at that rate, but we budgeted that, and that's factored into this overall 5%. On the salary adjustments, what we do every year before making any determination on salary adjustments is we do a survey of a sample of cities and counties in the region, because it is important to us that our adjustments be in tune with or in line with what you all are doing. I mean, not exactly what any of you are doing, but generally speaking, we want to be in line with what the city, our city and county members are doing. The only other item that I think I want to note on the expenditure side is on the, you see again on the rent line item, our estimated spending is $64,000, even though we had budgeted the $250,000, like we talked about for the building. We didn't move this year. We are not going to in this fiscal year. We are planning to move in the next fiscal year, and so we are again putting that budgeted $250,000 in there with the understanding, as I already articulated, that we have to see how this goes with selling this building, and are we going to lease or buy going forward. We fully anticipate, as I said, coming back to you as a budget committee with an update and, you know, review, and not just update and review, but we are going to want your input into the decision making and then approval for whatever the budget implications are. But that's why you see that rent line item going from 64 to 250. So I have a few things I want to note on the revenue side, but on the expenditure side, comments or questions?
On the expenditures? Anybody got it?
Going back to the salaries and line item, did you see that that 5% covered both the insurance and the salary increase, or...
Yes.
It's everything. It's changes in retirement. It's any increases we might anticipate for insurance and any salary adjustments based on COLA or merit.
I just wanted to make sure it was all wrapped up into the 5%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Right. So that operates for us as a, for the staff as a cap. And then we, as staff, manage within that for any adjustments, Mayor Conan, as you're saying, for all of those items.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any more questions? I have one question. Did we get our ongoing $140,000?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And that takes us to the revenue side.
Did you see the dance? The party that he threw.
So, on the revenue side, starting with the smallest revenue source that we have, which is $140,000 that we get annually from the state of Utah. $70,000 of that has come to us as so-called ongoing money for years, and another $70,000 has come to us as one time, which means, for those of you that are, most of you, almost all of you that are involved heavily in the legislative process, you know that there's a lot of sweat equity that goes into that $70,000. It's the most expensive $70,000 that we get, is one way to structure it. After several years of effort, many of you have been involved in this, and we're so appreciative. The budget adopted this year includes converting that second 70 to ongoing. So all of our money is now ongoing resources. And I'll tell you, that comes with your help, and then also with the personal support that we've gotten from the Speaker, the Senate President, you know, Jerry Stevenson. Sort of the list goes on. There's a long list. The Governor's Office, Chris Cox and GOMB, a lot of folks that are very supportive of the work that we do and wanted to make that happen. So
on a $15 billion budget, they were able to find that stuff.
That's right. That's right. So I'm just glad that I don't have to work on this next year. So that's the smallest slice of our budget. The largest slice of our budget continues to be federal funds. And to some extent, Commissioner Milne, this goes back to what you were getting at before about the way we do our budget and what Lovett was explaining. We have, since our inception, gotten the majority of our money in federal funds, grant funds, that come from the US DOT budget. There is a statutorily mandated slice of those resources that come to Utah that go to our organization as a metropolitan planning organization. The way the federal government does its budgeting, they adopt multi-year bills. The current one that we're operating under is the FAST Act, and that has...
Unless it's PILT, then it's only one by one.
Right. This is for transportation. For transportation, they do multi-year authorization, so we have certainty then looking out over a multi-year period for that portion of our budget that's coming to us. So that, you know, that's a stable revenue. The third source of funding, which represents, I don't know, you know, roughly, Lovett, what percentage of our overall budget? Roughly 10% of our budget, or actually 5% of our budget, is the coming from the local contributions. And now, I want to turn your attention, if I can, because this is a subject for some discussion, to the page that's called Local Contributions. okay? FY18 budget, local contributions, and you'll see down the left side of the page, it has the names of each of the counties in the region, and then it has 16, 17, 18, and then 19. This is a topic that the Budget Committee has discussed. We discussed it at the last Budget Committee meeting. You gave us some feedback, and we're now back with it, with responses to some of that. So what we do is you see that the contributions from each of the counties in the region are based on essentially population or number of voting members is based on population roughly, and so then the dues are tied to that. So you see Box Elder total at, you know, 12,500, Davis and Weber at 66,800. Box Elder, Morgan, and Tooele each at 12.5, and then Salt Lake at 133. Those contributions were increased a few years ago as part of our ongoing effort to maintain long-term budget stability. Because the contributions had been fixed for many years, just a fixed dollar amount, and then as time goes on, then we have a decrease in our buying power, which necessitated a few years us coming back to each of the counties in the region, and we worked this all through as part of a comprehensive effort led by the Budget Committee to stabilize our long-term finances, which we really appreciated. Councilman Jensen, particularly as our chair in that area, we appreciated your efforts in that regard. And so we had a fixed amount that was at these levels. Now that's 16, 17, and also proposed, to be clear, for the FY18 budget, the same amount, no change. What we talked about at our last Budget Committee meeting was the idea of building in an inflationary increase as we go forward for our FY19 budget. And what we suggested, one approach would be to do this based on CPI, Consumer Price Index. We did a one-year look back based on our most recently completed fiscal year. So that fiscal year period is actually the July 1, 15 to June 30, 16 as the most recent full year. And that comes out for 1 year at about 1%. Commissioner Milburn, at that last meeting, you raised the possibility of looking at a three-year because of a concern with volatility. And so we went back and we looked at that, and Lovett, based on her analysis, actually that came out when rounded also at 1%. So the practical impact of looking at a one-year or three-year, if we applied this for 19, would be the same. But as a policy matter, if you wanted to do an inflationary adjustment, having a direction to us to do a three-year look back to control volatility seems like a reasonable policy. We're talking about 19 because our fiscal year 19 will start July 1 of 2018. For the counties, as you all know, your budgets are calendar year. And so the way this could work is that if we adopt this approach for our FY18 budget, which starts on July 1 of 2017, we would assume flat contributions. The counties, however, if you adopt this approach, you, for your calendar 18 budget, could plan for a CPI increase. So you would know this, you know, we would adopt our budget in May. Then you, as you start on your budget process in the second half of 2017 for calendar 18, you would know, for example, in Davis County, that your contribution would go from 66,842 to 67,510. So an increase of, you know, some $600+. And then similarly for Box Elder, Morgan, and Tooele, from 12,533 to 12,658, you know, an increase of some $155. You would know that as you were putting together your calendar 18 budgets, and then you would adopt your 18 budgets, and then we would be able to build that into our FY19 budget. So there's a long sort of lag as you do this, but we think the idea of our suggesting this is we want to try to avoid the situation that we had before where we lose buying power and then we have to spike and lose buying power and spike. We'd like to build something in so that the contributions that we are getting from you have an adjustment so that we keep pace with inflation. We do it in a way that controls for volatility. And we do it in a way that gives enough lead time so you know what it is, what to anticipate ahead of time. And if you decide, hey, you know, this isn't going to work for the upcoming year, or we need to do a modify the approach, then you have time to do that before we have actually built that into a budget. Okay.
Can we figure out how to do that with property taxes too?
Yeah. I know. I was just going to say, I'm in favor as long as we can do this at the city level.
You know, we've talked about it in Salt Lake County of just trying to do
smaller ones.
You know, if we could get the council just to bite the bullet and say this is our new policy, we're going to do CPI every time.
That's the direction we're heading.
Or have the state actually give us the same benefit they enjoy.
What?
They survive off income tax, and cities primarily off sales. Golly, both of those automatically adjust. You know what I mean for CPI?
Yeah.
I love this idea. My only concern is that it becomes retroactive. So this is a perfect example of where we're at. Growth for the forthcoming.
Hey guys, I need to just let you know I'm going to be dropping off. I got another meeting, but I don't have any concerns with anything that's been presented thus far.
Great.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. We'll see ya. Bye-bye.
10 minutes too, so maybe the meeting will be after that. We'll get it over with by then. So current paradigm is kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
CPI for the forthcoming year is supposed to grow much quicker than the 1% you're going to get from us in a year and a half.
Right.
That's my only worry. Because then you're always going to be playing that lag.
Yep. And
I'm not saying, I would love for you to charge us 5.5, but at the same time, I believe enough in the work that you guys do. I want your survivability, and I don't want the kind of volatility you guys are still going to be subject to with the grants. I mean, it sounds like, your grants have survived for a long time, but again, being the new guy, I look at some of the volatility, even just what you have shown.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to keep your good staff around. But that's my only concern. I don't know how you address it, though. I appreciate the heads up with us being on a cycle. Go ahead, Lila.
Instead of using the CPI change as of June 30th, 2016, we would know what that number is shortly into our FY18 year. So say next August or October, we could have that number for you to work into building your FY18 budgets. It would make it one year closer rather than being 2 years behind. You'd only be one.
I would support that, though I recognize that it extracts more from us, right? But again, I want to worry about their survivability and predictability for them. It's just if it's going up, hypothetically, 2.5% this year, right? If it does that, and they're not even able to capture 1% for another year and a half, they're always coming from behind.
Yeah, if you remember the discussions we had over the last year or two, and the approval of the council itself, it was, this is all about sustainability of the Wasatch Front Regional Council, and anticipating into the future that we will be able to continue to sustain it. So whatever. And we have come up with a formula, so we can continue that process and make it fit into the county budgets. I think we've had an agreement for 2 years now.
Uh-huh.
So it's up to you guys to take it back here.
Well, just trying to think of the timing. Mm-hmm. I agree having it a year and a half out is problematic. I think we would be okay if we had the closer numbers from Salt Lake County's perspective. The one thing, all of our property tax is based on a 5-year average. Now that's great, like in 08 when we went down, that helped a ton because of all of our revenues shortening up. Going forward though, when you have increases, you're going to be behind the eight ball no matter what. No matter if you do a 3-year smoothing or if you do a 5-year smoothing. So I'm not particularly, you okay?
Just poured it in the wrong hole, I guess.
There's only a few people I do mouth to mouth on.
Use your mouth, not your mouth.
But so I'm wondering, I guess I'm thinking out loud. I'm struggling with what's the right smoothing time frame. Because the longer we go out when inflation's going up, the harder it is for you guys to keep pace. Now, if you believe some people and the markets are going to crash, you probably want a five-year smoothing instead of a one-year. So I do like moving it forward, though. I don't have a problem with that at all. So you're not 18 months behind.
No, let's talk about real numbers. We're talking about your county's $600 or 1%. So, you know, this isn't a huge hit to anybody's budget, but I like the idea of moving it quicker, too. So we're, the whole point, again, is let's make sure we're sustaining the support of the Wasatch Front Regional Council, because it's only going to get more and more important for all of us, you know, as all of us have experienced so far, but it's going to be more and more important that we, the council moves forward. There may be some new funding coming with that $1 trillion budget or whatever they're talking about.
Don't start spending that money.
No, I know. But our lobbyist says there's some serious talk.
Lovett, let me just say that how much we appreciate what you guys are all saying, and we recognize that the way we've sort of set this out, it does have a long lag time, at which we are happy to accommodate so that you have certainty and time to build that in. So we're comfortable with that. Lovett, if we were going to sort of move it up by a year, so to speak, you know, how would we do that? Like, is the idea that we would then build that into actually now build that into our FY18 budget, which starts in July? Because then you guys won't, you the counties won't have your budgets adopted for 6 months later.
Right.
And so part of this, I don't want it to be that we assume that's going to come and you don't have it in your current budgets, and then you're sort of paying in arrears. Because what happens is we bill the counties for, you know, in the first quarter of our fiscal year, but you guys haven't adopted your updated budget, so you wouldn't have that. So maybe what we would do is we could do this, think a little bit of thinking out loud here, okay? We could do this. It would still start for our FY19 budget. But rather than have it be based on the fiscal year, which is July 1 of 15 through June 30, 16, we would actually have it be based on July 1 of 16 through June 30 of 17. So in other words, we would still be able to tell you, right, Lovett? We'd still be able to tell you what the number is for...
Prior to their doing the budget.
Prior to you guys starting your budget processes. But we would just carve out a year of lag time. Is that consistent with what you're suggesting?
Yeah, and I think there's two points that Mayor Dolan brought up that are very prescient to this. The first thing is it's a fairly de minimis amount in relative terms, right? Now, I realize I'm speaking for us that only have, you know, one voting member, and so our increase is a whopping $600. But in, you know, the relative nature of things in the economy, it's like I'm going to assume it's fairly respective to the different parties.
It's actually $135.
Okay.
So. You can use the other money somewhere else.
Sure.
Buy yourself something nice.
Put it on your credit card.
Put it on that in his wallet.
Okay. So, got it in Myron's wallet. The second thing is, to the element that Mayor Dolan mentioned, that it has been a two-year belief among this committee and presumably the overall board, you guys are thinking ahead. I mean, we could do that for a couple percentage points when we're talking about that much movement from a 1 percentage point per voting member. You know, I mean, I don't think most of our other membership dues stay static. You know what I mean? Like, we're doing the same kind of headroom with the expectations, like Lovett mentioned in the last subject. 5% includes COLAs, merit, 10% insurance increase, and it creates that buffer. It's not, you know, an exact number, and I think the same thing could be done at the county level for a couple $100 on the percentage point movement if it's for only 6 months of a lag on our end. So yes, it does. That was the politician answer to a quick yes to your question.
Okay. Thank you.
If I can't find $1,500 my budget,
you got tons of problems.
A problem. Yeah.
Chains laying around the county office.
I think I heard Spencer Cox call that once budget dust.
So what I'm so I think we've described to you the FY18 expenditures and revenues. We've had a good dialogue about something that we're saying doesn't actually impact the FY18 budget, but it's what we're saying is this is a policy direction. That what I'm hearing now is that for our looking ahead to our FY19 budget, that you're saying to us that we would tell you what is the 3-year CPI look back for the 3 years that end June 30, 2017. We would tell you that figure, and then you would be able to build that into, the counties would be able to build it into your calendar 18 budgets. Yes? Okay. Okay. So I don't have, Mr. Chairman, I don't have anything else. We don't have anything else. Lovett, Wayne, do we have anything else on the FY18 budget that we need to cover? FY18?
Not unless somebody has any questions.
Okay.
Last item?
So they need a motion to approve that.
Motion to approve.
FY18.
To approve who?
To forward it. Second.
Yeah, to forward it to the council.
I'll second.
What's his name?
Commissioner Milburn's motion. That he was about to make.
Yeah, I was about ready to make it. I made a motion to move. Commissioner Milne can make that motion.
Yeah, that's who made it.
Yes.
Okay. So I moved.
Okay.
I don't second it.
Okay. Last. May I go on?
Yes.
Okay. Last item. Amending the accounting and administrative policy and procedures. There's two elements here. One of them is, again, something that this committee, the Budget Committee, discussed last year and recommended that we move forward on. This gets at our ability to adjust amounts within line items in our budget. What you said to us was, you are comfortable with staff making adjustments within line items in the budget, as long as it doesn't A, increase the overall budget, B, does not create ongoing additional payroll expenses, or C, impact debt service, and that we would bring those changes to you, report those changes to you in the regularly provided financial reports. So just what this is getting at here is if our, you know, I don't know, Bill, I'm trying to come up with a good example. Building operations and maintenance line item is, you know, $500 over in a year that we could, and we have an underspend in contractual, that we could take $500 in the contractual line item, use it for the building, because it's not an ongoing payroll expense, it's not debt service, and then that would be included in our reports to you. Now, before we talk to you about this, we researched this carefully to make sure that what we're doing is completely consistent with all applicable accounting rules and the state auditor's guidance for local and special districts. That guidance says the governing body, so the council, has to adopt policies for amending budgets, and it says that budget amendments can be made without having a public hearing and without having formal action by the governing body. So in other words, that they can direct the staff, the executive director of an organization, to make those changes as long as it doesn't increase the overall budget for the organization. So you already gave us, I'm reviewing this, but this is something you already said to us, yes, this is what we think you should do, but we believe that this, it would be appropriate to actually make a modification to the policy itself to state this. And so you actually have a red line version of the policy, a revised version, and you can see, as revised, it says the council staff may move budgeted expenses from one budgeted line item to another without a public hearing or formal budget amendment, as long as the adjustment does not increase total expenditures of the fund, create ongoing additional payroll expenses, or impact debt service. Any such change shall be reported to the council in regularly provided financial reports, as I just described. So.
It's not a change in policy, it's a change in written policy. So.
Right.
Any other questions on it?
The other element of the policy, very briefly, that is a suggested change, if I may, is that UDOT uses a consultant pool, and WFRC has found the idea of using a consultant pool to be very effective on some of our work, where we do a competitive selection process to bring consultants on to a pool, and then when we award a contract, we're able to draw from that pool. In order to make sure that the policies reflect that practice, we're suggesting a tweak to add the words WFRC or UDOT consultant pool again in our policies.
And with that, I'd move the board as proposed.
Second.
Do I have a motion and a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Unanimous.
I have a really long executive director's report that I'd like to give now. In seriousness, 30 seconds, Wayne, certification review.
So August 22nd through 24th, the quadrennial federal certification review will be happening, starting with a public comment.
That time already?
Open house, yeah, 4 years. Public open house to review the regional transportation planning process, starting with a public open house Tuesday evening, staff discussion Wednesday and Thursday morning, and concluding with the council meeting on Thursday afternoon.
Okay, it's a good thing. We welcome the input and the review. Just wanted to let you know about that. They'll come and they'll ask you questions. Hey, what do you think? How are things going? You know, that kind of thing, and we welcome that. So. That's all we've got, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Anything else that anybody wants to bring up? A motion to
adjourn.
Second of a motion. All in favor? Let's get out of here.
Aye.
You all are awesome. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the time. And we will modify the budget materials to reflect what you guys said here today, and then include that in the packet that goes out to the council for our upcoming council meeting on March 23rd.